Good morning, everyone. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 4 of Ephesians, please. We're going to carry on with our series from the book of Ephesians. I hope you've got something out of the Bible these last few weeks, just about who we are in Christ, what that means to each one of us, the value that God puts in us, the intrinsic value. And this morning, unity before diversity. Amen, Jeff. That's the title he gave me. The reason we say that, this portion I'm reading talks about the unity that we have in Christ, and then the next few verses he goes off and talks about the diversity of gifts, the way that God is going to use us in different ways. But before we get there, there has to be this unity. There has to be a coming together of the body of Christ. And, you know, Paul has been talking, and we've been speaking about it, this mighty power of God to change us, to save us, to build his church. Amen? And it starts individually, and then he brought it into the church. You know, if you remember my powerful sermon. But just a painter, if you go up close, you know, I used to be amazed at paint. If you're a painter here, I envy your gift. To be able to look at a blank screen, blank page, and go up close and then start with a stroke and a little one here and some stuff here. And when you get up close, I don't see a mountain or a face or something beautiful, but you just start. And then each stroke, and as you step back, those strokes just make this amazing, beautiful picture. And that's what the church is. And we come together, each life, each individual, what God is doing in us, the amazing gift that each one of us are. You know you're a gift, right? We are his workmanship. We are his treasure. He presents us. He puts it in the devil's face. He says, look at this one. And throughout eternity, we will celebrate what Jesus did, of course. It's not who we are, but what he has done. And so Paul's been preaching that. And he says, now that that power is in you, now that you know who you are in Christ, now that, you know, that he's lavished his love on you. I just keep having that picture in my head, Pete, when you're talking about the depth and the width and the height, and there's no way to escape the love of God. And then he just lavishes, you know, that your butter on the toast. And, you know, I love that picture. And I just saw us just smothering some of you with the butter this morning. The blessing of God, the love of God. It has to be. And, you know, awake my soul, we are singing this morning. It's like, wake up my soul. You know, we have body, soul, and spirit. And our spirit's kind of crying out, come on, soul, get moving. Stir something up so that I can have my way here today. And, you know, it starts with the raising of hands. You do something physical. You speak it. Your soul starts to awaken. And then you hear and you feel the Holy Spirit. It's not magic. It's real. And you stir up the gifts and the Holy Spirit that's in us. So smothered in butter. Let that stick in your head. My brother Brian used to tell the story all the time in Zambia. He was in Zambia in those days. And things were very hard to get. Tanzania was worse, but Zambia, they're struggling. The economy was bad at that time. And so they had brought in some imported butter. I don't know if they brought it from South Africa or Canada or in a suitcase or what, but they had these little blocks of butter. And make a long story longer, they had these teams that would come and help and build and whatever. And they didn't, often teams, excuse me if you're one of those that was one of those teams, they always loved Africa. Everything's free in Africa. It's so easy. And they're living in our houses and missionaries' houses. Yeah, it's great if you're in our house. But no bitterness or anything there. But he had these blocks of butter, and he talks about these. They were American missionaries, so it's not Canadians, okay? Just because they won the hockey game, we still love them and all that. But they'd come and visit and do their work teams, but they would watch cringingly as these guys who are leaving in a day or two to go back to America, Canada, wherever, would just take and just take that big hunk of butter. And the one guy literally said, and he had a southern, I can't do it well, but I just loves it smothered in butter. And he just took half a bar of butter and just put it on his corn or whatever it was. And the kids are just sitting there, okay. Anyhow, we don't have to worry. We can smother the butter this morning because the love of God is limitless. You remember his sermon, the breadth, the height, the length, the depth. You can't get around it. And it's just whether or not we have the power, that ability to accept his love and to receive it and allow his love to touch our lives. And even when we're, sorry, and this isn't my sermon, I'm getting there, but when we worship in the morning, like this morning, thank you to the worship team, it's up to us to open up our hearts. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will come. He, you know, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. That's not evangelism. That's us. And when we open up that door, he comes in and fellowships. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't know how I even do it, but wake my soul this morning. And I'm telling you, I got to some sweet spots with the Lord. And I'm praying that each of us, we don't just come to church. We come here to encourage, to fellowship, to experience the presence of God. Amen? Everybody says? Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read it first. My verses are 1 to 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, literally a prisoner, okay? Remember where he's writing from. I urge you to live a life, some translations, to walk worthy, to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen? And then he'll go to the diversity. He'll start talking about gifts and so on. But that's our verse. So Lord, bless this morning your word. I thank you for your holy, infallible word. I pray, God, that Paul's preach, his letter to the Ephesians this morning would ring true in our lives and in this house and in this church in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. I'm full of stories today, but that's okay. I have the microphone. When I was preparing this week, I just happened to open up my Bible to this front page, and it says February 1995, so we're in February, right? And I think 1995 is 31 years ago that I picked up this Bible. But the reason we are home, and I wrote it in here, it says Dad's funeral trip. My father, we went home to be with my dad, and he died in February 1995. And I just happened to notice that, and it was like, wow, life is fast. Because I can remember freezing, because we came from Tanzania, and it was 35, 40 above, humid, and we're standing at the gravesite, which was just, my dad's farmyard was just across the road from the graveyard, and after the funeral, we're standing there, and the wind is howling, and it was like minus 35, so from 35 to minus 35, and we're standing there, and we had no proper winter clothes, because why do you want to buy a whole bunch of stuff? And I look down, and I'm was wearing orange boots, sort of orange like these shoes, and they were my dad's, really ugly orange boots, but I had no winter boots, and we're standing by the coffin, it's laying there, and they're saying their thing, and we're going to drop him into the ground, and the wind is just howling, and we're free, and I was like, these boots lasted longer than my dad, and when I picked up my Bible this week, I was like, life is short. We can't afford to miss what God wants for us. We cannot let hurt. We cannot let Like I'm going to get into my preach here in a minute, but we cannot miss what God wants to do and is doing in our lives and in the church. And the devil, he's a liar, and he's busy destroying that if he can. And we have to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. You know all the sermons. To be careful with the people of God and with one another. So Paul says, okay, I've told you about this. These sermons we've been preaching, just read the book if you've been doing your homework. He says, I've told you all this stuff. He says, now you got to live worthy. Put up the next slide. I don't want to take time on this one, but the three things that are my sermon this morning is the calling, live worthy, and unity. I've mixed the order up just a bit. He says, live worthy of your calling. But let me just start there. Live. We have to live this stuff out. We have to walk it out, if that's the translation that you have. It's something we do. It's something we get involved in. You can put up the next slide because I'll stay on this one too long. But so let's start with calling. What does calling mean? What does it mean to have this calling on your life? And I put the, can you see it on this screen? Good, that one's cut off, so it's okay. That one's a weird screen, just so you technological geniuses know that. It's sort of half off and half on, but it's kind of like my preaching this morning. It's kind of, I won't even try to read it up there, but calling is the word Paul uses to speak of God's powerful summons that brings us to know Christ as Savior. Hallelujah. We're not talking about a specific calling to a ministry. We're talking about him, this upward call of God to call us into the, to be called is to be powerfully brought to Jesus Christ by the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's the calling. And if you've heard Jesus speak to you, you cannot be saved without hearing his voice. You've heard his voice. That's what you responded to. It's not up there, but let me just quote John 6:44. It says, no one can come to me unless the Father has sent me, draws him. Or like Lydia in Acts 16, he says, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Paul says, if this has happened to you, if you've heard the Lord, you felt the Holy Spirit calling you up into this upward call to heaven, to Christ, to what Paul's been preaching about in Ephesians. You've heard this. And I'm talking to the choir, all of us. That's our testimony. We've heard Jesus. You know his voice. I know his voice. We wouldn't be saved without it. Then he says, okay, now live worthy of that. So that's what I want to talk about next. What does that mean to be worthy? You can put up the next slide. The short version is to live in a way that matches, reflects, or is consistent with the calling, character, and grace that God has given you. Amen? The Greek, axio or something like that. I know a little Greek. He lives over in the West End there. But the word worthy comes from that Greek word. And it's literally the same word that they use for balance. And I've shared this before, but it's like, to be worthy is to be balanced. Like it's the idea of scales. So you claim this. This is your testimony. This is what Ephesians 1 and 2 and 3 is saying. Who we are, what we are. You confess to that. Okay, then how's this side? How's the living it out balancing? Is your life, you know, are you a hypocrite or are you walking in the truth? Are you walking a balanced life? The Word of God speaks about who we are. We are adopted sons and daughters. We are heirs of Christ. We have this inheritance. And then we're over here living like this beggar. You know, I don't want to go back to the caterpillar and the butterfly, but, you know, we are God. You know, you hear all the things. Royal blood flows through my veins. And then the next minute, we're just over here broken and the devil's got me, and there's no hope, and it's like, no, that's not a worthy life. A worthy life is, and we were sharing it in the life group this week, is dignify the trial. You know what that means? When trials come, when sickness comes, when the devil's knocking on the door, you dignify it. How? By walking worthy. By saying, I trust Jesus. That's a good place for an amen right there. You're all kind of shocked here this morning. It's cold outside. I'm sorry the Canadians lost. I don't know if you... The curlers won. Curling is a godly sport, and they won that one. I curl every week. That's why I call it that. So do we live a balanced life? God, like we sang this morning. My friend used to always say, Christians only lie when they sing. We sing the most amazing things, and then we go home. Let's live worthy of that calling. Yeah, the upward call that Jesus spoke to us. And I don't want to go back to my testimony, but you got one, I got one. When the day I heard Jesus call me up, it's been, there. What else can you do? And we were talking this week, and it's like, okay, when battles come, when challenges come, I thank God I've never, and this was someone else's testimony, not mine, but it's mine too, I've never blamed God. Like you get people who go through difficult things, and then the first response is, oh, God let me down. How can I trust God? How can I trust the people? How can I trust church? How can I trust God? Where's God? He's been the same every day. He's never changed. It's us. And it's like, no, I trust you. I'm going to dignify this. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. You see some, you know, Kim was here last week. We were going to have her share a testimony today. I don't know exactly what the struggle, but she was the one who was telling me her cancer, you know, was 900. I don't even know what that means, whatever. And it was 4. She's been declared clear of her cancer. Yeah. And she was, I wish she was here. We'll let her share it. But we live worthy. We dignify the trial by trusting God. And I can look in this room and I can tell you there's people doing it right now. And I'm saying, God, I want to do that. I want to live a balanced life. A life that proves. So, I mean, I got 100 points here, but what it doesn't mean, let me just keep that slide there. Yeah, just leave that one there. What it doesn't mean is to live worthy does not mean to earn salvation. It's not what we're talking about. It doesn't mean trying to prove yourself to God. Come on. Oh, am I worthy? Am I doing enough? No, it's not that. That's not what living worthy, a balanced life, is about. It's not living perfectly. Because we all, I mean, since we came in the room here, we failed. If you're like Dave. It means, what it does mean is responding to the grace appropriately that God has given in our life. Amen? We work out our salvation, not for it. There is an expectation of how you're going to live a holy life. There is a standard of Christianity, of life. Even the world knows it. They will tell us, how can a Christian do that? There's a standard. But it's not like we try to earn some kind of recognition by effort. We know that it's by His grace. But then that grace is the power of God, the enabling of God. By the grace of God, Paul says, I used to be that, but this is who I am in Christ. You know, we talk about grace is the unmerited favor, yes, but it's also the power of God to change us. And we walk in that. And that's what a worthy life is about. I'm not perfect, Peter. I know you think I am, Pete, but I don't want to let you down one day, just so you know. I'm pert near there, as my cousins would give me a hard time. No, but I'm not what I was. God is working. And my wife wishes it would work a little faster. but he's working. Even when you don't see it, he's working. Hallelujah. Amen. That's our only hope. Yeah, okay, you better say amen loud over there. So what it means to walk worthy is just to walk in the grace. So let me get to it, because Paul gives these seven, and these are all preaches, and I can't do them justice. He gives us a few examples, and I added from also out of Colossians, chapter 1. I think you guys can see it. No, only I can see it. We have to live in a way that reflects who you now are in Christ. Does it show up? Is it there to let your life reflect the value of the gospel you believe? That's a worthy life. That's what it means. So he says, he gives a couple examples. Humility. I can't be humble and honest at the same time. What is humility? Romans chapter 12 says, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Go read Romans chapter 12, those few verses. He talks about who we are and then differing gifts and loving one another like brotherly love. You know, I've preached that whole section too many times in my life. But it's not thinking terrible of yourself. It's not thinking too highly of yourself. It's literally, humility is walking in the truth. Being honest, being faithful to the truth. We walk in that truth. Christ in me, the hope of glory. God's not finished with me yet. He's working. But I thank God I'm not what I was. I thank God, you know, I can say I'm a father, I'm a husband, I've pastored for some time. There's some things. And that's the truth. And that's walking in humility. That's walking in the truth. But then I can start stretching. Sorrel, we can start stretching. You know, did I mention that I was a Hillsong preacher at that time? You know what I mean? Yeah. See? We can just tweak it a bit. And it's not humility. Because you're not telling the truth. You know, I won't even start down some of that roads. Just walk in the truth. Be honest. So Paul says, one way is to walk in humility. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? To just be honest with God, with others, with ourselves, not putting on faces and shows and making stuff up. To walk in humility. We can't stay on all of these. Next one, gentleness, kindness, means careful, helping others. You know, I got a definition and an opposite word. So for humility, opposite is pride, okay? Gentleness, kindness means careful, helping others, very close to humility. There's this gentleness. And the way that it helps me understand it is the opposite of it is harsh. Are we harsh? I know some of you have a problem with that. Some of you out there. You know, I quote Nick, our former pastor back in the day, so many times, but, you know, so many times, you know, with his wife and harshness and arguing and back and forth, who's right and who's wrong. You know, 90% of the time he said his wife was right. But even the 10% that he was right, he was still wrong because his attitude sucked. He's still wrong. It's like there was harshness. There was just this opposite of a gentleness, opposite of being careful, helping. Anyhow, let's move on. Patience, because I know none of you have any issues with gentleness and so on. Patience means the ability to endure difficult people and situations without giving into anger or giving up hope. That's patience. Because God continues to show us patience when we are doing disappointing things, we can show others patience when they disappoint us. I won't even mention which life group leader it was. I won't even look in that direction. I'll look in another direction. Sharing the difficulty of getting their life group to respond to reading the Bible. And, you know, I love it because I said, welcome to the real world, you know, to get somebody to respond to a preach, to respond to living a Christian life, whatever. And you wish you could just kind of just jump on them and used to say, take a needle and just inject the Holy Ghost, right? You know, salvation, just chase them down the street and leap on their backs and, ha-ha, another one for Jesus. But we can't. But in profound wisdom, was trying to say is you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. And then you got to remember how many times somebody tried to get you to read your Bible, and you didn't. And that's the same with us. Like, so when I'm talking to you about patience, hurry up and learn patience. We got to have grace for one another and allow God to work. And that's what gentleness is. Patience, that's the next one. No, I already mentioned that one. The opposite of it is intolerant. Intolerant. Irritable. Anybody relating here this morning? No, of course not. Bearing with one another. I'm going to end with this because that list goes into Colossians and it's longer than just here. And, you know, Paul's got his preaches and his list going. So I'm going to end with this. But in Ephesians, he says, bearing with one another means all of the above. It means exercising patience, endurance, tolerance, and love towards others. Others' weaknesses, faults, and irritating habits, rooted in biblical teaching of Colossians. It goes way beyond mere tolerance to actively extending and maintaining unity within relationships rather than reacting with judgment or harshness. Hallelujah. You can put up the next slide. So as he wraps up this, what does a worthy life look like? He kind of just nails it with bearing one another in love. That's it. It's like, and all I want to say is we cannot do it without God. Because we're going to get into Ephesians, you're going to get into the ministry side, the church, you're going to get into family, children, marriage. Like, get ready for the rest of this book. But we cannot maintain that without the help of God. And I'm serious, it's like, God, we need help today to maintain that, to guard, to care, to allow others to, you know, people joke, we joke. I love the ministry, it's just the people I can't take. It's not true, but it's easy to say that. You know, if my friend George always used to say about marriage, Lord, it's that woman you gave me. If you could just deal with her, things would be great. What are you and I, what do we have to bear this morning? Like, really, what does that mean to bear one another? It's active. It's more than just tolerating. Okay, I'll, no. It's active. We do something. We act on these things. We change. We allow. We don't react. We don't give back what you feel they deserve. Like, how many phrases do you want me to use? It's like we bear one another in love. And that's, again, that's only God's grace that we can do it. Amen? How are you doing with it? And then Paul ends this last few verses. He says about the unity, keeping the unity. There's, you know, to make every effort. Make every effort. every effort. Oh, yeah, well, I tried, you know. Make every effort. Yeah, but if she would just make every effort. I hope you hear that word. To keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Amen. And then he gives a whole list, 7 things, what that might look like. He says, or how that is expressed, how that is proven. It's not something it's not even something we try to do. It's what God has done. It's what God is doing in us to bring us to this place of unity. And again, it takes God. He says, number one, one body. Not 2 churches for the Jew and Gentile and the rich, the poor, black, white. There's one body. He says one Spirit. And if you notice in your Bible, it's a big S. It's the Holy Spirit. It's one Spirit that calls us, that draws us, that fills us, that brings us into the kingdom of God. One calling. And I've already mentioned, what is the calling? It's not specific. Your calling is whatever. It's the calling upward of Christ. There's one call that he's brought us all into. And then he says, one Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty simple. To all of us, all of us. I want to get my English better here. To whom all true Christians have a relationship and have been called to is Jesus Christ. One faith. It's faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus, not the detailed system of doctrine. One faith. It's not, you know, the details of the system of doctrine or what we believe. He's talking about the one faith that we are all called to. Jesus, one Lord, one faith in Christ. There's not much unity about the lesser details of Christian teaching. You know, if we got 10 of us in a room, we could probably have 10 ideas of how the end times is going to play out. Back in our day, the planets were going to line up in 1982, going to suck the atmosphere right off. I don't know, Jesus was going to come back. Kissinger was the Antichrist. He's dead. Maybe he's dead, I don't know. But it's like, there's a lot of things that we cannot necessarily come to complete agreement around. And I don't even want to spend time on some of it. But what we're talking about is the faith in Christ. The one faith that creates a unity between all Christians is the fact that all true Christians have faith in the same Savior. The one faith is saving faith, justifying faith. It is believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord. This is possessed by all true Christians. It creates their unity. Those without it have no salvation. Amen? We want people to act like Christians, but they don't have salvation. If they don't have Jesus, if they have not that faith, the faith, the one faith that puts their heart and their trust in Jesus, we cannot expect people to live a Christian life. And, you know, people have all different opinions and stuff around some of the issues of our day today, and I have mine. But the big issue is, do you have a faith in Jesus? Is he your Lord? That's what will bring us together. We can try all our best to get people to be kind to one another and quit doing stuff. But if you don't have Jesus, it won't last. There is no true unity. And you just look in this room, the diversity, the age, the race, the wealth, the situations, the education, the finance, whatever. But what unites us, if there's any unity, it's this. There's the one faith, one hope, one Lord. And he ends up with one baptism. He's not talking about water baptism. There's a divide about that even. We could fight about water baptism. He's talking about let me get the sentence. Unity is the work of the Holy Spirit baptizing us into the body of Christ, putting us into the true church of God. That's what the baptism he's talking about here is of the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you are full of the Holy Spirit. You have received the Spirit. He's come to take residence in you. Don't question, did I get half of it? Is there more? Yes, there's more experience. Yes, there is the baptism. There is the enjoying the Christian walk in God more and more. The infilling of the Spirit that the Bible talks about. But we're talking about here is the baptism. One baptism is the work of the Spirit to put us into the body of Christ. He immerses us into Christ. That's what brings unity. You need that. If you do not have that faith, if you do not have that baptism of the Spirit, if you have not heard that calling of God, the upward call of God to come into His family, to come into what He is doing in the world, who He is, then this morning I'm praying that your ears would be open. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would speak to you this morning and draw you into this, what it means to be in the body of Christ. What it means to have unity. It doesn't mean we're all the same. We're not the same. We don't need to be the same. Like, I got it written here somewhere. I don't know if I can even read it. My writing was so poor 20, 30 years ago. Nothing wrong with my eyes, by the way, just the writing. But there's like 7 pictures in this book, and we could go down that road. And it's like we're His workmanships, we're citizens, we're the household, we're a family, we're a building, a temple, we're a body, we are a bride, we are an army. All of them come back to this unity in Christ that brings us together, that we have one God, one Father. Yeah. Whatever you're looking at as a family, as a temple, as a creation, or whatever, we belong to one God. And that's what brings us together. We were talking, actually, just this morning. Yesterday, we were talking to our friends in Zimbabwe and South Africa and Mozambique. And this morning, with Tanzania. And they're praying for us this morning. They're praying for us. There's one body. There's one Father in heaven. And if you've traveled anywhere in the world and you've heard the testimony over and over, if you get into the house of God, where God is present, you're at home. Languages can be different. Kuna waswahili hapa wanaofahamu kiswahili? Kuna moja hapa? Nobody. Nobody knows kiswahili around here. Come on. We used to have a whole bunch of Tanzanians that spoke Swahili with us. You get into a place, I don't care what the language, but the Spirit of God is there. It's like, this is home. I belong here. And if you don't have that, this morning, He's inviting you. Paul says, I want to end with his words. As a prisoner of the Lord, Paul's saying something there. He's in jail. He is committed. Like, he's committed to this thing. And that's the picture he paints for us as Christians. That we are literally prisoners. We are sold out. We are locked up. We are tied up, tangled up. I should write a song like that. In Christ. And we've been brought together. Fellow prisoners. Greetings, my fellow prisoners. We have been brought into this body. And he's saying, live worthy. Live in a way that reflects who you are. And he's saying that from prison. He's saying, like, you've been bought with a price. You belong to Jesus. If you've given your heart to Him, if you've heard His call, if you've heard Him speak to you and call you into His kingdom and into His life, then He says, let's live like that. And I'm talking to the crowd. I'm talking to all of us. We have a call to rise up in this day. You know why it's so important? And I promise I'll end here. You know why it's so important that he speaks about unity? Because the world is dying for it. We're told to prove his love by how we love one another. Like, so what do you think the devil's going to go for? And he's going to get into marriage. What do you think the devil's going to go for? Because God created marriage. He instituted it. It's a holy institution. God, not government. Not the church. This stuff was before all that. God created marriage. Holy. What do you think the devil is going to go for? We are called the body of Christ, the household of God, the fam, all these beautiful terms. What do you think the devil's going to smack? Oh, yeah, you're fake. Look how the church is. Look how you've been treated. Whatever. Look how your husband's treating you. Look how your wife's. You deserve what? You deserve nothing. You deserve a slap in the head. Smarten up. That was my dad who was good at that. But by the grace of God, he calls us into his family. We have one Father. My prayer is this morning that if you do not know your Father like that, you do not have a relationship with Jesus like that, you have not heard that higher call, then this morning you would submit your life to Jesus. I go back to Lydia. The Lord opened her heart. I've seen that so many times in my life when the Lord opens someone's heart. It's a gift from God. And then us who walk in that, may we live worthy of that. May we just walk in some of that. Would you bow your heads for a moment, please? Just close your eyes before the Lord. And I want to ask you this morning, if you've never given your life to Jesus, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I need help. I need to know what it means to be part of God's family, like genuinely. I need to know what it is to have the humility, the patience, the love of God that he's talking about in Ephesians. Pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus this morning. I want to surrender to him this morning. And if that's you, would you just put up your hand? Let me see it. You can take it down. Just hold it up and say, pray for me this morning. Pray for me that I would know his heart. I would know God. I would know Jesus as the Savior of my life. I want to give my life to Christ. If that's you this morning, let me pray for you. Amen. Just as we're heads are bowed and eyes are closed still, just for a moment. Let me ask you this. You and I, we say we love God. We say we're part of his family. But I know my heart. I know that we need the power of the Holy Spirit to live this out, to walk it out. And I'm going to ask you this morning, you say, you know, I need prayer this morning that I can walk this out, this keeping that bond of unity and love and peace. I need God's help for that this morning. You just put up your hand. Let me pray. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Could be in your marriage. It could be in the house of God. It could be just the circumstance you're facing. So, Father, I thank you this morning that you are working in your house. You're working in our lives. And I pray for unity, not for uniformity, but for unity. Like a body with many members, some that are visible, some that are not visible. But God, I pray that body, because you are the head, and as we surrender to you, that body would function, would be healthy, would be bringing life because of that unity, because of the love of God. And I join my prayer with Paul. Lord, help us to live worthy of this amazing grace, of this amazing power that you've given to us, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. If that is in us, God, and it is, then help us to live it out, to show it to the world. And the world is desperate for it, and I pray, God, we would be faithful to it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome.